Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
State Treasurer David McRae has put millions back into the hands of Mississippi citizens, expanding the state's affordable college and career savings program and also returning record amounts of unclaimed money. Check out how Treasurer David McRae's office can help you, your business, or your organization. Treasury.ms.gov.
You're listening to the Rebel Report podcast, where it's all Ole Miss all the time. Here's your host, Michael Borky.
What's up, everybody? Welcome in on this Sunday night to the Rebel Report. My name is Michael Borky. Glad that you are with me. We've got two main things, to talk about tonight. Ole Miss continues to add in the transfer portal. They have now added four offensive players since we last spoke in the transfer portal, so we will talk about that. Pat, I'm not late. I'm not even entertaining this stuff tonight. So I'm not doing it with you. I love you, but I'm not doing it. They have added four portal players on offense. We'll talk about that, and we will also get into the basketball win. I don't want to call it a big win because LSU is going to be at the bottom of the SEC this year, but when we're talking about getting to a magic number of wins, they have already gotten three of the eight that they need, and so they need to find five more wins on their schedule in the next 15 games. I think that they can do that, but we'll talk about, and so that's what makes every win in SEC basketball this year big. Just adding one more to that column, it doesn't matter who the opponent is. This is a brutal conference, and starting out conference play 3-0, regardless if it's Arkansas, who's 0-3 now, and so is LSU. It doesn't matter. The wins are big. So we'll talk about both of those things in your comments after I tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online, absms.com. Advantage Business Systems has you covered for all of your Mississippi office technology needs. And so tell them I sent you, by the way. You'll get a complimentary office technology assessment. It's also brought to you in part by Priority One Bank. They make you their priority every single day with their online banking platform. It's a one-stop shop. You just need an internet connection. You can do whatever it is that you need to do with your money because Priority One Bank makes you their priority. But this episode and this podcast is presented by the Gregory Law Firm. TJ Gregory has been with us for a little while now, and I'm very, very thankful for him. Actually, recently heard a testimonial from one of you that used him, and it turned out great because that's what you should expect when you use TJ Gregory and the Gregory Law Firm. If you've been personally injured, don't waste another second. Wake up tomorrow if you're listening tonight or if you're listening on Monday, when this will be posted for the overwhelming majority of you. Don't waste another second. 662-397-9799. 662-397-9799. Don't delay. Call DJ today. Also, small business. If you're a small business owner, if you are thinking about starting a small business and you don't know legally where to go, call that number, DJ Gregory. He's in Fulton, but he can take care of you anywhere in Mississippi. Check them out. 662-397-9799. Don't forget to like, subscribe, all that good stuff to the podcast. Search Rebel Report wherever you get them. Follow me on Twitter at Michael Borky. All that stuff is out of the way. Let's get into it. Ole Miss has added four players in the transfer portal. And every single one of them, I think. So there's an interesting thing that happens with fan reaction to portal recruiting. And if the player is not like gonna plug and play, be a starter, like overwhelmingly dominant, it's why the heck did my team sign this guy? And these last four in particular, I think all of them you can put in the category of experience depth or depth that they just simply needed at positions, right? And that's a good thing. You need to do that as well because you can't just, with the number of guys that you lose, depend on high school players to give you quality depth. For example, Treylon Ray. Now, I know he got hurt in the bowl game pretty badly, but a wide receiver at West Virginia that's really experienced, played a lot of college football. I don't expect him to start for Ole Miss or even really play heavy snaps, but having a guy like that as a depth piece is very valuable. So even though that's not like bringing in an elite receiver that's going to change the offense in like just flip it upside down and this guy's the key to an 11-win season. Having a guy like that in your receiver room, assuming that he comes back healthy, is a quality pickup. That's a good addition to your roster. Percy Lewis, same thing. It's a guy that has started at two different SEC schools, has started games in the SEC. I don't expect him to start either at offensive tackle, but you can't teach his size. And to have somebody, what you would assume as a depth piece, or what should be a depth piece, with that experience is a good thing. It's a very, very good thing. So when it's a guy that's not like this groundbreaking recruit, it doesn't mean like that the program is broke, or it doesn't mean any of those overreactions that you see. However, I do think that it is fair now at this point, and they're not done. I know that Lane Kiffin recently visited one of these kind of guys, but Ole Miss's portal class is still lacking. If they are going to just kind of run it back and be the same quality of team that they were last year from a roster perspective, they're going to have to hit some absolute home runs with evaluations or development, because as of this moment, and now that I've said this, they're going to get a couple of the big time defensive backs that they're in on, and everything's going to flip on its head and it'll be great. But right now, I know it's ranked number 3 in the country, and I know that they've added, I missed one, by the way. Jordan Simmons, the running back from Akron, his numbers are good there. He's a 7 yard per carry guy at Akron, but didn't get the ball all that much in his time there. Just under 700 yards on 7 per carry, so he didn't get as many touches as the production says he probably should have. But both of those things can be true, that they've added a group of offensive players that provide a important service to a football team, quality depth. And they've got that, and that's a good thing. But when you look at this class, it is still short of what they need it to be. Secondary help. They've got a couple of guys, but I have no idea who to tell you is going to play defensive back this year. They got Sage Ryan, who's going to play safety, and they got Braxton, the corner from Arkansas. But there is so many players in the back end of their defense that they have to replace, and I cannot tell you who it's going to be and how good it's going to be. Right now, the secondary piece of this transfer portal class is simply not good enough because they just don't have any. They have two of them. That's not enough. They are replacing the entire secondary. Not only is it Trey Amos, Washington. I saw somebody give an anecdote today that Pete Golding said when he's done playing football, he wants him to be his defensive coordinator because of how smart of a football player he is. And you're replacing a guy like him, and you're replacing – we're back. Okay. And even a guy, I know he's polarizing, but Kennedy is gone. And he played a lot of snaps and actually did some good things for Ole Miss down the stretch this past season. They have not done enough in the back end of the defense as of this moment. And also, and everybody's favorite position, running back. They add Jordan Simmons, who I mentioned from Akron, and then a junior college back. His name is Trey Hall from Gulf Coast, who apparently can absolutely fly. But Ole Miss had to fight off the likes of Western Kentucky to get his commitment. And look, I'm not saying that these guys can't end up being great players for Ole Miss, especially defensively. Doubting the evaluations of Pete Golding would be a mistake, but the bodies aren't there. The numbers aren't there as of this moment. But all Golding and that staff has done is prove to you that they can evaluate and develop really, really well. But you look at the offensive line, and it's still a concern, even with Percy Lewis and the other three guys that they're bringing in. There's still no way of knowing if there's going to be any step forward for a lot of reasons that we've discussed many times. But the running back room, they very clearly botched last season. And it's not just about Ulysses Bentley and that situation. You clearly had a misevaluation with Rashad Amos as well. You're playing two walk-ons ahead of two scholarship guys, not just because of a weird deal with Bentley. Why did Rashad Amos not work out either? That was a very – it's a two-pronged issue with the running back room, and I promise you it's been used against them. That they have swung and missed at running back. I know there's this cost-benefit analysis, this money ball thing where they don't want to overspend, but I know that there was at least one of their running backs that they went after in the portal that went elsewhere, that the management of the running back room a year ago was used against Ole Miss and probably to great effectiveness. And so now what they have in that room with Parrish gone and Bentley gone and even Matt Jones is gone, that they have now an incoming true freshman who may end up being great for this team in year one. I mean, Quinshon Judkins was great for Ole Miss in year one as an incoming freshman. So maybe he has that kind of production. Or Lacey, who they really liked in recruiting but went to Missouri, but he only had just over 100 yards last season. And so now you've got Logan Diggs coming off of an injury. I mean, he physically looks the part, but in the bowl game appeared to still be shaking off rust, to put it nicely. So you've got that, and then you're adding a MAC transfer and a junior college transfer. And, I mean, so now you've got these five running backs, none of which have produced for you at all or at this level post-significant injury. And, I mean, as of this moment, again, these guys could end up being great, and that would be great. But if you have supreme confidence right now in the running back room, I don't think you're looking at it objectively. That it's continuing to be odd, and that's putting it nicely. Will one of these guys emerge and be very good? It's totally possible. Can multiple of them emerge and be very good? Logan Diggs was very good before his injury. So it's totally possible. But the way that this position has been managed and recruited looks like they're kind of throwing stuff against a wall and hoping it sticks as of this moment. They have swung and missed. You should have no confidence right now in that position group. And why would you? You should have no confidence right now in the offensive line. And why would you? And right now they just don't have the bodies in the secondary yet. And they certainly, again, they're working on some. They're in on some high level guys. And if they can, if they can pull it off, then it's a different conversation. But to this point, I know they have the number three transfer portal class. And I know that there aren't as many available quality players this year in the portal as there was a year ago. But it's okay to be underwhelmed. That there are a lot of questions right now about their incoming haul and its ability to make them a team that can compete for the playoff in 2025. Can they be that? Of course they can. Should you have questions also? I think you should as of this moment. That there has yet to be that big time home run, can't miss. This was a great pickup, and you know he's going to be an instant impact guy kind of player. I think DeJohn Stribling is probably the closest to that. The more I consider that, the more I think he's going to be very good for Ole Miss. But it's lacking in that, and they need to close well. And I know the spring window is also there, but that's in years past has not been as lucrative. So anyway, I'll read your comments about that after I give you some quick thoughts about basketball as well. So the final score is 77-65, by the way. The second half was actually – they kind of kicked LSU's rear end in the second half a lot more than that score would indicate. Dia was, again, just brilliant. And like I told you guys the other day, I love the fact that he's impacting the game at all levels. And his defensive activity has been much better too. Had a pair of blocks in the game. But I love how – they are using him. I mean, he is, I don't want to start calling him an NBA player or anything like that, but he has the ability to score at three levels like an NBA big can. So you have to step out and defend him because he can make outside shots. He can put the ball on the floor and beat you off the dribble, and he can be physical, and he's got some post moves, and he can make some mid ranges as well. So he's just a very difficult defend right now. I don't know if it's as simply as like he has flipped that switch or what has happened over the last few games to really kind of bring this out of him. But I think that his offensive game can be replicated. He's been very impressive and very good for Ole Miss. Brakefield was exceptional in the second half for this team as well. Jalen Murray, only scored 10 points, but made half of his shots. So that was good to see him get some offensive production for this team. Klafke needs more minutes. I don't know who you take them from. I mean, that's the only question is, maybe if Morrell's having an off night, it comes from there. It's going to be lineup dependent, but Klafke needs more minutes for that team. I'm very intrigued by his ability and what he can bring to that team. But what is it? Five players in double figures. That defensive activity. We still don't know what the team ceiling is, right? And they're about to get really, really tested. What they're dealing with this week at Alabama and even at Mississippi State, who I know just lost, is totally different than LSU and Arkansas in Georgia. Now, good teams win those three games. I think Ole Miss is a good team. I think there's a chance they're a very good team. We have no idea what their ceiling is because they haven't been tested with the top of the SEC yet. They're about to get that test now. I do love what they do defensively, though, that they are so active and that you have a bunch of guys that can defend at multiple positions. I know that they lack size on the block. I understand that, and that's going to be an issue for sure, but they force turnovers. They get into passing lanes. They're really active and aggressive defensively. And generally speaking, they protect the basketball pretty well. Didn't do it in the first half last night. And that's an issue. I mean, their starts have not been good. And I feel like that's going to bite them here soon. They have trouble starting games. But I do think that defensive ability and activity and the way they like scheme up defense is something that will travel, right? That is something that they can do on a nightly basis that will keep them in some of these games because of how intense and active and successful they are at forcing turnovers and eliminating opponent open looks. I mean, LSU, who again, I know is not particularly good, but they shot 40% and 22% from three. Arkansas, they held to very bad numbers at home. Georgia was one of the more efficient offensive teams in college basketball when they went to Oxford and they couldn't score. So I really like the way this team plays defense and their activity. I don't like the way they start games. At times the ball can stick offensively and they get kind of bogged down. But, I mean, you have to be extremely encouraged by the start. And now we're about to find out, especially over these next two games, but really the next four, what this team's ceiling truly is. But getting to 3-0 is huge for them to get into the tournament, which is really the only goal this season. So I like what I saw, though. I mean, I like this team. They're flawed. Of course they are. But I do like a lot of what they do because it can be replicated. It's not like they have guys that are just shooting out of their minds and they're going to regress back to the mean. No, they're winning games on replicatable things, right? And you got to be encouraged by that. But we'll find out this week how good they really are. To the comments we go. Let's see. Ole Miss may be better next year, but it's hard to get excited because of the hype we heard about this year's team. I understand that. And the thing is, the hype was warranted. They just came up a little bit short. But the roster and the team itself was absolutely deserving of said hype. This basketball team has an issue with slow starts, but gets better as each game goes on, especially in second halves. Yeah, they are an extremely good second half team, clearly. I don't know if it's as simple as adjustments. I don't know, if they're conditioned really well. I don't know what is causing that for sure. But, I mean, you've got to imagine that coaching has got to be a big part of that. But also they got a lot of veterans. I mean, it's an older team. I know that they haven't all played together. I mean, like Padula and Dia, for example, are new to this team, but you've got a lot of guys with Murray and Brakefield and Morrell and Padula and Dia. And I mean, these guys have played a lot of basketball. And so maybe some of that comes out as well. It's just veteran guys, they get a feel for a game. And I don't know what it is, but I know that good at it. And I really like what they do defensively. Awful first half, but they survived. Ole Miss may have a better record next year, but I wouldn't count on it, and we won't have as much talent. There's still no way of doing the record thing right now. I got to see how they close in the portal. There's no way of sitting down and doing, you know, win-loss until we know what they add or maybe what they don't add, right? If they're able to lock down a couple of these secondary pieces that they're in on, then you look at that defense and think, you know, there's something here. There's something to really like, but with what they currently have on the back end of their defense, I'm concerned. Said it before, but you cannot have a vote of confidence for the offensive line play or their portal recruiting. I agree completely. There's no other way to say it. You like Diggs, Mills, Knight, and Lacey on the surface as running backs, but can't say these will be bona fide good to great running backs. The other guys they've got tell me the portal recruiting there is suffering from misevaluations and missing on guys with the Bentley situation. I agree. I mean, they clearly missed on guys. I don't think that, well, that school overpaid is a valid excuse for every one of the higher level running backs that you went after going somewhere else. That just doesn't track to me, especially when I know that another school used the mismanagement of the running back room against Ole Miss in successfully recruiting a player out of the transfer portal. You cannot sit back and have the situation unfold the way it did, regardless of your opinion on it, and think that that would not do some level, some kind of damage to them in some way. Mills Knight should be good. Let him back up Diggs for a year. See if his if he can translate to this level. He certainly looks like a great prospect, but it doesn't happen right away for everybody. You don't have confidence in Kevin Smith after the debacle we had to witness this past year. Yeah, and again, it's not just about Bentley. It's, you know, what did you see in Amos? Why was he completely unable to help you at all, especially after injuries piled up? Did you miss that evaluation that poorly? You know, it's not just Bentley we're talking about here. It's the fact that they went into the Kentucky game with a walk-on who should not have been playing as RB2. How did you get to that point? That's a big, big problem, regardless of how you feel about it. That Georgia win for Ole Miss basketball is looking better and better by the day. Yeah, and you know what's funny, man, is we were talking about it on the radio show after it happened. And I was just kind of, you know, that's a big win for Ole Miss. Georgia, you know, you start SEC play 1-0. Georgia's got an NBA player on it, stuff like that. And I had some state fans that were like, Georgia's not played anybody. That they suck, whatever. And now they're 14-2. They've got wins over. Yeah, they beat Kentucky and now a ranked Oklahoma team. And yeah, that's a very quality win at this point. Klafke comes off the bench and it's like the team gets a jolt of energy and he only gets 6 minutes. He needs to double. He needs to get 10 to 15 minutes a game. He's just a spark plug. Think they're going to be better next year than they were this year. The DBs gave up too many long balls at bad times. They did, but I'm not going to spend any amount of time blaming the defense for anything that happened to Ole Miss in 2024. I can't bring myself to do it. They for 13 games, did everything that they needed to do to be undefeated. You're looking at 0-2 this week for basketball? Me too. Alabama's going to be a serious problem, and Mississippi State's a really good team who isn't taking that next step right now, but they're better offensively. Yeah, they've got some shooters. Although, man, Hubbard shot themselves out of that game last night. I really like Hubbard. I mean, he's a great player. But he needs to make better decisions. It's not about missing shots. Sometimes good shooters miss shots. It was shot selection and timing were just awful. And he was already having an off night to begin with. And, I mean, they were doing a really good job of breaking down Kentucky and getting some nice kickout passes to open shooters. And instead, he just took a handful of really ill-advised shots and shot themselves out of that game. But Matthews is a beast. I texted Haydad. I said he's Maroon Herb Jones. Just all that dirty stuff. I mean, he's just physical. He gets rebounds, and he's tough to defend, and he passes well and sees the floor well. He's good. I mean, it's a good State team. I know they lost, but that'll be a tough challenge, and you know that it's going to be rocking when Ole Miss comes to town. So, but Kentucky had their way with State. They could not stop them at all. Josh Hubbard's. Gosh, I know it's choppy. I know. Nothing much that I can do about it. Next three games for Beard will be interesting. And I think they're all in the – no, not Texas A&M. But these two games this week are in the free shot category. I mean, KenPom really likes Ole Miss right now. And Ole Miss is not expected to win either one of these games, really. So they're in the free shot territory. I know that there are people that are casual viewers of basketball that have like a football mentality where if they lose on Tuesday night, it's, oh, well, the team sucks or whatever. But these are a couple of free shots. You've already gotten off to a great start and now see what you're made of. I mean, if they're able to go take a fight to Alabama, even in a loss, that'll tell me something about this team. If they can find a way to get one of these next two, or even just one of these next three and be 4-2 after. I mean, that's just such a good start. 1/5 of the way through the SEC schedule. How many games do you think Ole Miss is going to win at the moment? I think it's still going to get really, really tough. I think that here, let's see. Let's go through it because this schedule is absolutely brutal. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. They'll win 6 more. So go 9-9. Malik Dee has been very impressive, very versatile too. That's what makes him so hard to defend. It's just how he can shoot he can make the outside shot. He makes mid ranges, but he can also put the ball down and attack the basket. So if you've got a heavy footed big that's out there on the perimeter trying to defend him, it is tough. It's my take on the SEC hate from so many of the online pundits lately. They have made Lane into almost an anti-SEC poster boy, especially when the Big Ten is maybe 4 schools and a bunch of nothing. It's always been that way. People, and you got to think, the overwhelming majority of college football media is not from the Southeast. The Southeast dominates the sport. And even in a down year, it still had the most wins over other Power 4 teams in the country. I also think there's some people like Northwestern grads look down on the South as backwards. I think there's some of that at play too. But it's mostly the SEC's just been the dominating force of the league or of the sport for so long that people are kind of sick of it. I mean, just like you guys were sick of Alabama winning under Nick Saban, you know, in the second Saban leaves and they're back to normal, right? And they're human again because Alabama won because of Nick Saban. Nick Saban didn't win because of Alabama. Now that they're back to normal, it's easy to hate on them, right? It's easy to point and laugh. It's very similar. The SEC's dominated the sport for so long, point and laugh, you know, because you haven't been able to. Texas and Oklahoma are combined 0-6 in SEC play. Yeah, welcome to the league, guys. Offensive line is key to winning this year. Last year, they were only decent at pass blocking and terrible at run blocking. Yeah. Yep. And have they, to this point, given you any reason to expect them to be better? Until they are, I'm not going to say that they are. Kentucky looks like a team who's going to win games 95-85, not the most physical bunch who wants to get out and score. Mark Pope's BYU teams were similar. They're fun. I like their style of play. That's for sure. How do I feel about the NFL saying they'll probably change the playoff hosting scenarios next season? Just because you win a conference doesn't guarantee you a home playoff game. Pay attention, college football. I would be surprised if they do that. I saw that, but I would be surprised if they do that. I think they're going to stick to what it is right now, because then winning a division means absolutely nothing, which in the NFL, they don't want to do that, because the divisions in the NFL are at least equal-ish, you know? You're at about 99 for Ole Miss. That's where I am, too. Stop ignoring my steel cage match challenge because you would win, and I will never. The SEC was 1-4 versus Big Ten in bowl games. Got to eat crow. Yeah. Yeah, they were. Yes, they were. That game against A&M on the 22nd is huge for Ole Miss. That's almost a must win, isn't it? Have we heard any news on the severity of Johnny Broome's injury? I saw a tweet today, I forget who it was, that covers college basketball, saying that he won't need surgery, but definitely out for at least a week. Dart coming back, possibly, or just fake. And then the next one. Oh, yeah, thoughts on the clickbait stuff with Dart and Harris. I guess that's ultimately what that was. The waiver thing is not abnormal, although I guess, as it turns out, one was never, or at least as of a couple days ago, one had not been submitted at all. And I trust the person who reported that, Rippy. I trust his reporting. I'm very confident that he is correct on that. But that is not abnormal. A lot of guys do that. Ole Miss, there's an Ole Miss player that did it last year, just as like, you know, what the hell, why not wait and see? You know, or why not wait and see, but why not see just in case? And he ended up getting hurt in the, you know, the draft process. So it would have been great if he would have been granted said waiver. So that's not totally out of, you know, left field. But Jackson Dart was not coming back to Ole Miss. He very likely could not possibly be in a better draft position next year than he is at the moment. It's time for him to go. And it didn't make sense. Like, him returning to Ole Miss would not make sense for him. Because, again, I mean, there's a real chance that he's QB3. He is the further away, and this isn't a shot, by the way, but the further away we get from games and deeper into the draft process, the more people are going to like him. Good player on the field, all that stuff. I'm not saying that he's not, but he's going to win all of the stuff that NFL teams care about. He's going to win the interviews. When people go to Oxford for like his pro day, and by the way, NFL teams, they ask around, right? They really figure out what kind of person the quarterbacks are. They ask custodians in the facility, hey, did you interact with this player? What did you think about him? I've even heard a story of one NFL coach going to a bar in town and asking bartenders, hey, does that player, like, has he come to the bar? And what did you think? Like, was he nice to you? That kind of stuff. Jackson's going to win all of those things. So he's healthy. Physically, he's in good shape. He's healthy. He had the best game of his season at the end. He is in a very weak quarterback class that's not going to – I mean, Carson Beck's not going to be in it. It doesn't sound like Quinn Ewers is going to be in it, although we'll see. I don't know. But it's a weak class. He's in really good position. There would be no reason for him to come back to school. And I don't want to comment on the reporting of it too much. He was not coming back to Ole Miss. Never say never. Never speak in absolutes. But the people involved on his side were a little confused last week. So, want to send a rip to Dex, the bestest good dog ever. Oh, Eugene, I'm sorry to hear that, man. Losing a dog is, it's the absolute worst. We don't deserve them, but man, I'm sorry to hear that. I'm really sorry to hear that. My Maverick, one of my two, is really getting gray in the face, and that reality has hit me hard that he's not immortal. And sorry to hear they're going through that. You agree it's time for Dart to go, and didn't understand the point of him getting a waiver anyways. He played 4 years. Yeah, there'd be no, like, there was no, but people try. I mean, why not, right? Throw something on the wall and hope it sticks. You know, maybe the NCAA is just so sick of losing in court that they're just going to, and apparently they might just grant a fifth year to everybody here soon. Like, it's possible that that happens as early as this week. But yeah, it's, yeah. Thoughts on the two playoff semi games? How about some pretty poor quarterback play? I mean, Howard was okay, although it was certainly his worst playoff game of the three after being unconscious for his first two. But my takeaway really was, I mean, nobody should be surprised by Riley Leonard or especially Drew Aller. And their poor performance against good defenses, don't get me wrong, but that's been the thing that stood out the most to me in these playoff games is the quarterback play has not been particularly good. And the best one is Will Howard now, but I mean, even in his game against Texas, it was a screen dump off on a bad defensive call right before the half and a sack fumble that won the game for his team. But I like Notre Dame. I think that they're going to be able to do very similar things that Texas did to Ohio State. And they're going to have to force Howard into being uncomfortable. And when he's uncomfortable, I think you saw what he's capable of or really what he's not capable of. I think that Notre Dame's going to be able to slow down Ohio State's running game and make this a kind of a real ugly type football game. And it's going to be who makes the mistake. I wouldn't be surprised if this one looks and feels very, very similar to the Notre Dame-Penn State game. Although Ohio State's much better and more athletic on offense than Penn State is. You guys know what I'm getting at, though. Low scoring defense, whoever forces the turnover is going to be the one to win the game. Been fun, though. I enjoyed both of them thoroughly. Can't win the Heisman in the pros. I know it's something to think about. Yeah, I understand where I get you. I get you. But being a first-round pick is more prestigious. Or not more prestigious, but it's something that you don't pass up in order to try to win an arbitrary award that has really kind of lost its luster over the last few years as well. Yours was pretty decent against Ohio State, but clearly not NFL ready. Very underwhelming season. I think he's a very underwhelming player overall. Maybe I'm just cynical. I don't know. He's fine. He hits his checkdowns, which is what the aforementioned Jackson Dart needs to learn how to do. But I've not been impressed with him. His pocket presence is pretty gross, and I'm not in love with his arm strength. I think he's just okay. I think he just plays in a really good scheme and has really talented players around him that make him look better than he actually is against lesser teams. If the NFL ever had an expansion team again, what cities deserve franchises, in my opinion? Deserve? Versus who would actually get one. What city would deserve an NFL team that does not have one? Austin, Texas. But they've already got two teams there. New Orleans would love a functioning NFL franchise as opposed to what they're getting right now. I think that NFL's next expansion will be in Europe. That will be the next one, I think. Do I think Notre Dame joins a conference in the near future for football? Nope. Because the playoff revenue distribution. So what Texas receives for their playoff games goes to the SEC and then split. What Notre Dame receives goes to Notre Dame. They have been affirmed to not have to join a conference. It was a great decision. And I mean, they're now just being openly incentivized to not join a conference. Now, they don't get any money if they don't make the playoff. But, I mean, if you can do it every other year or once every 3 years, you're still making more money than your conference counterparts are. Texas was bad offensively all year and was carried by their defense. It didn't seem that much different from Ole Miss, but with worse quarterback play. It's not a bad comparison at all. Thoughts on Carson Beck going to Miami with his girlfriend and a boatload of money? I don't think something like that is the death of the sport the way other people do. I know he's getting a pretty crazy amount of money. I think that he's going to go to Miami, and I think he's going to be exactly who he has been, which is good and not worth the millions of dollars that he's going to get paid. Miami will not win anything of significance, and people that paid that salary will be wondering, why the hell did we do that? So we will go live right after the game. Yes, 6 o'clock. We will go live right after the game. So I will see you guys, you know, 8:30-ish, just whenever it ends, boom, we'll hit live, and we'll go from there. So thank you guys. I appreciate you, and I will I'll talk to you after the game on Tuesday.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.